You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Revenge After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Revenge After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we're doing Revenge, episode 20 of season 2, Engagement! What an episode!
Oh, really? It was really an amazing episode. I don't ever say that.
Well,
not any show.
I mean, this was. They said we would be shocked by the end in the little teaser of last week, and we were quite shocked. I have to say, I want to know what happens. But before we get to the season finale, we obviously have to go through our after show and digress. No, that's not the right word. Digest.
Do you mean we need to simmer down a little bit in the studio?
No, I don't know. Engagement is the title of the episode. I thought. I liked the little play on words. Sometimes we get a word that, obviously that it ends up being what the episode centers on. But I felt tonight's word, engagement, was much more prominent.
Engage the enemy until death do you part.
Yes. And obviously that got shooken up but it also spoke of love, which, Emily had towards Aiden. That got shook up. But let's start with Charlotte. I was not expecting this.
To introduce myself.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Steven. Steven, we're so into this episode that we forgot. Plus, fans know us. I'm Phil Svitek, joined along Roxy Stryer, Anna Koppel, and Catherine Tulich is in London. Don't feel bad for her because she's watching Star Trek.
Felicim, what day is today? Cinco de Mayo. Yay!
Thank you. All right.
Ay, ay, ay.
Now that we've digressed. That's Steve. Please stop, Steven. All right. Steven, this is a very serious matter. Charlotte, pregnant.
Who's the father?
Who do you think? Declan!
No, because she said to him...
Regina.
Could be.
Just throwing it out there.
No, but she said, please don't be mad at me or please don't hate me, something like that. And I just feel like...
But she's shit-faced.
No, she's not. That she's puking because she has...
Oh!
Yeah.
Two and two are coming together.
Yeah, and when Regina when Regina brought her the black bag with something in it, I thought at first that it was
drugs
again, but it was a pregnancy test, obviously. So I just
wow, this is all really coming together. This is what I need, you guys, because alone, I'm not enough.
Alone, you are not.
I am not enough.
But okay, so is that why she was avoiding Declan?
I think partially, and I think that's a good twist because at least she's not just being a complete, a girlfriend who's not there for her boyfriend. And we're looking and we're like, really? She's going back to her old ways and we thought she moved on. So at least she has a good reason, a valid reason, although shouldn't be avoiding him.
Why confine in Regina?
What other friends does she have?
I hope it's Jax.
Oh my God, that would be really?
I'm sorry. I don't even understand that.
Last time I said I hope Amanda dies, and she did. I don't know. Maybe it'll come true.
Why would Charlotte be pregnant with Jack's kid?
I don't know. Maybe they were consoling each other and just got out of hand.
Oh, we're gonna see.
All right, let's not even amuse this idea. All right, back to I was gonna say the task at hand, but there's no real task. All right. I want to know why she's avoiding Declan. I mean, why couldn't she go to him? Or
It's scary. She's pregnant, Like, what does she want to go to? She doesn't know whether she wants to keep it, whether she doesn't. Mm-hmm. And all this stuff is coming out about her mother and how her mother had the baby and didn't keep it. So
let's not forget about Conrad's campaign.
Right, that as well. I think she's scared and she's just wanting to avoid the issue, which isn't the right move, but is it understandable? Yes, absolutely.
And she just found out earlier that night. So why? It's not like she's just totally avoiding him because she's...
But she had a... Okay, so, you know, with her friendship with Regina, you know, she must have had an inkling. It's not like she would ask for... You know what I mean? You kind of have to know, okay, you know what? Something's up. I feel like I may be pregnant, or it's a possibility at the very least.
Right, she obviously was late. You know, she was late, so she...
You know who's late? I feel like if Emily had spoken to Charlotte just a little bit sooner, she wouldn't have to deal with Regina.
Yeah, well, what do you mean?
Well, because we had that talk tonight with Emily and Charlotte. Why are you guys are on a different level. I'm
just excited about the show.
But all right, so tonight, right? The talk that they had, mm-hmm. right? Emily and Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Had that happened sooner?
About her being the bridesmaid?
Not even that. I mean, that was the discussion that they were having, but it was also like, hey, I'm also here for you. I mean, those were some piercing words from Charlotte, like, hey, you know, you don't... I mean, in many ways, she was saying, you don't know what it's like. You know, I had Amanda, now she was taken away. I don't really have a sister anymore. And, you know, it's eating
Emily alive. I don't think she meant it to say anything bad to Emily. I don't think she was trying to hurt her.
No, but, of course, that's, you know, Emily, because
right,
she is her sister.
Right, but Charlotte doesn't know that. She's not trying... to okay. hurt her.
Okay, you're right in that respect. But had this conversation happened earlier, I feel like Charlotte would have confided in
you. You feel like Charlotte wouldn't be pregnant?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I feel like at the very least, you know, she would have gone to Emily sooner.
I don't know rather how than Regina. They let this happen, though, to be honest with you. Because if Declan is the father, you know, they've been playing with baby Carl, you know? They, you know,
maybe,
I just feel like
maybe inspiration. She poked a hole. Maybe she poked a hole in the condom because she wanted a baby.
I know.
Bitch would be crazy sometimes.
Yeah, but I just feel like, isn't one baby enough responsibility?
No, I think that people are young and they make mistakes and they're not thinking, huh, can I turn out pregnant? And you're like, you idiot, and you want to shake them. But it happens all the time. Teen pregnancy, it happens.
I know, but I just feel like with a baby in the house and they're like taking care of it all the time, like to even play just the tip would be way too risky, I feel.
I agree, but that's looking from a perspective of a woman who's older than 16, you know?
Yeah.
You're not thinking about it like, that, oh.
It's close with your words there. Yeah, I appreciate it.
There we go. So anyway, saying, you know, like... Hindsight is 2020, and clearly they were not thinking, or they were thinking, and the condom broke, or something happened, or she was one of those 0.01% chance.
So let me
people.
Ask you this: why now? I mean, is it just to give Charlotte storyline? Like, how you know, last season we kind of ended with a pregnancy, i.e., Amanda's. Now we're kind of revisiting that. You know, where does this take us?
Full circle.
Okay.
I don't mind it. I don't think it's that similar of a storyline. I'm okay with it so far.
Yeah. And it's interesting that, you know, out of all people that knows about it, it's Dan first. Her brother.
I think it also gives Daniel a reason to stay in the States.
That's true.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's he going to do, run off to Paris now?
Yeah, where does the show go from there?
So he's going to have to tell Emily because she's going to want to know why they can't leave.
Right, and Charlotte may yet tell Emily.
So is Declan the last to know?
I hope so.
I mean, TMZ might report it, and he'll find out that way, like he did. By the way, I really liked how they kind of dealt with Declan, that storyline of like, you know, hey, why didn't you tell me about it? Remember, because we talked at length last week about Jack not being told from Declan, you know, hey, I saw Charlotte online, right. You know, and I'm glad that they at least touched upon that because most shows wouldn't, and I'm glad that they did and kept that going. Poor Declan as a father now. I mean, the Porter family just continues to be ruined by the.
I don't think she'll have a kid.
You think she's going to abort?
Yeah, I do.
Especially after your comment of what you were saying, of how you know she hurt her mother and things like that.
Yeah, I think that her mother didn't have an abortion. And she was like, I don't want to bring anybody into this world and have them feel pain.
Okay.
So I think the way to avoid that is, unfortunately, by not bringing somebody into the world.
Yeah, I think that Charlotte has very strong feelings against her parents. And, I mean, she's, you know, she's Charlotte Clark now. And I think she has very strong feelings about bringing anybody into this family. And not necessarily into the world, but she's still a part of that family until she can stand on her own. So I think until she's out of that house and separated from that family that she would abort.
She obviously can't support a child by herself. And clearly Declan doesn't have the funds to do so. So it would just be another way she had to lean on her parents, which is something she's not willing to do.
Right.
You guys are right in that regard. Poor Declan.
Yes, we are. Team.
Yeah.
Team, baby. Poor Declan. My prediction is he's going to find out on TMZ or something.
The pregnancy test was left in the trash. TMZ got a snapshot.
Yeah.
If he ever gets out of that ATM vestibule.
I mean, all you need is one photo in front of an abortion clinic, and that says it all.
She would probably go out of town. She's not.
Either way. I mean, she's
pretty, not what? Stupid enough to get pregnant?
Good call. Good call.
Just kidding. If you are pregnant out there, that does not make you stupid.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Boom.
All right. So here's obviously Conrad's very focused on this campaign, but the fact that it's a little upsetting that he doesn't see what's going on with Charlotte, especially after what had happened that night, you know, where she made out with the girl. And we don't need a repeat of last week where we just kept saying it. I'm partially.
I did.
Anyway. But in terms of the campaign, I like how, for me in particular about tonight's episode, I like how the storyline of that photo came about. You know what I mean? I was certainly not expecting for it to come out in the way that it did.
You're talking about the making out photo again.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the governor's wife.
Oh.
I'm talking about the campaign and the governor's not wife. Well,
right, I definitely didn't think that Jack was going to approach Victoria about it. I thought it was smart by Ashley, who seems to be the pseudo-mastermind who's drunk, and that's fine because it's Cinco de Mayo and we all make mistakes. No, I just think that they didn't really know where they're going with it, but they didn't have another option, so... Why not bring it to Victoria?
Well,
Victoria saw right through it, so that was kind of an issue.
She did, but here's what was nice is, you know, as they kind of alluded to, you would have been expecting like an affair, and the fact that it wasn't an affair, I thought was very smart.
Well, it was, yeah, but I think the audience were expecting an affair, but I think so was Victoria because when she showed up, whose husband were you expecting, yours or mine?
This made me so unsympathetic to Victoria, though, because didn't she just seem like she didn't care? I mean, she's sitting in front of this woman, and the woman's like, my husband's about to die. And Victoria's like, oh, thank God. And I'll sleep with my husband. Like, didn't it seem like that to you guys?
I mean, here's the thing. That assumes that I love Victoria. Victoria's this amazing woman. I mean, she's...
No, but she does have redeeming moments sometimes, and this was just not one of them.
For me, it was just because Conrad's done so much to her that it was like, okay, give her this one. For me.
Deciding vote?
I just think that the way Victoria's mind works is just like a filing cabinet, and she just files away information for when she could use it to her advantage or against somebody later. And so that's just the sort of look in her eyes that, you know, the wheels are turning and how can I use this to my advantage?
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And then I don't, it leaves a sour taste, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm with Victoria on this. I want to see Jack finally get something.
But you know, it's earlier in the episode, Emily comes up to Victoria and is like, isn't it disgusting how people can use your pain to profit? And that's exactly what Victoria, like you're saying, does to everybody else. So I guess karma.
It's true, yeah. And by the way, in terms of Victoria, how... sneaky is it the fact that she's having Nolan go on this goose chase, which we'll definitely talk about, but you know, when she knows the truth that she paid off her son for $5 million. That's insane.
And what is the reason? And Conrad knows, so it has to do with him clearly too. I had nothing else to say. I was
go ahead.
Well, But yeah, what is going on with that whole storyline? Because Nolan goes to find Edith in jail, and they have their conversation. Because I'm not sure that that is the truth. Because
what isn't the truth?
The $5 million.
The $5 million. Yeah, because she says, Edith said, the Falcon says, you know, that's just like her to spin it that way. You know, she's playing you. She paid him off, paid him $5 million, and when he came looking for her. But then when, you know, Aiden types in his code and Carry On goes out, and then the whole city shuts down, she seemed to know that was going to happen.
Really, the Falcon strikes again.
Yeah, pretty much. And, like, she's going to get out of jail. Obviously, if there's no systems, it's total blackout. It's very easy to get out of jail in those sort of situations, I would imagine. So I'm not totally convinced that that's the $5 million stories is true.
You think she was setting Nolan up?
Yes.
I don't disagree. I don't know, but I don't disagree. I was thinking that the second the lights go out and you see the little smirk on her face.
Yeah.
She definitely, somehow, maybe still the $5 million part is true, and she still is playing Nolan and using him as her puppet.
I like that story only because Victoria, you know, she's going along with that with Conrad. That's the way, you know, that's the truth that they come towards. I mean, she's lied about everything else, but finally, at least we can come to this, and that's the truth.
But why is she reading all the letters?
I think, here's the thing, again, I think the one redeeming quality for me about Victoria is that she loves her kids. And I think deep down she feels, I mean, okay, it's one thing to give up your kid, right? And so assume that story, and, you know, you're never going to see them. Now, to have this kid be discovered and then pay him off to basically leave me the hell alone, it pains her. You know, and especially...
It pains her that she did that?
It pains her that she did that. And also, this was following Daniel's comment of, remember, I love this line, you know, I never make the same mistake twice. And Daniel goes, except for making bastard children.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that, she was torn by that. So she's trying to right some wrongs there.
Okay.
Well, I definitely think she's trying, but so, I mean, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
I guess.
How many times are we going to say, oh, it's okay, because she was trying. You know, no biggie. She just abandoned her kids at 6 months of age so she could go be an art person and then didn't even follow that path. And then the kid finally found her and she slapped $5 million in his face to make him go away again. No worries. That's fine. She's trying.
That was a really hard month for her.
Well, I mean, all the more reason why... You know, I'm not justifying her, but again, just more stuff eating away at her. The fact that Emily and Daniel are planning on Paris of all places. You know, It's just one of those things. But in terms of Victoria in the campaign, it's interesting to me how there's so many things at play, and Conrad's all about his campaign, and yet there's all these little things that he's not necessarily thinking about that I feel ultimately are just going to crash this whole campaign trail.
He's just like the sleaziest of the politicians. And he says, let's hope the voters don't hold me to so high a standard when he's talking about his campaign promises. Like, as if he's like, when he's talking to Jack about it.
Yeah.
Ew.
I feel like
that is everything everybody hates about politicians. Oh, Conrad. Oh.
I feel like I can't even hear what he's saying anymore because I feel like, I don't know, somewhere he heard that talking and, like, that low sort of raspy
whispering. Mimicking?
Yeah, that equaled acting somewhere. And I just can't even...
I want to be JFK.
No, lower and raspier.
How can you be lower and raspier than me?
Let me ask you this. I thought it was interesting of all people, Declan made this comment of, you know why you bury politicians, you know, 100 feet or yards into the ground, whatever it is? Because deep down, they're good people. And Jack considers this, and I was like, what? It didn't, I was taken aback by it, because like, what does that mean? Is he a good person deep down? And why would Declan, of all people, say this?
I just don't agree.
Okay.
I just don't. I mean, maybe. Conrad does seem a step less evil than Victoria.
Really? I mean, his whole thing, even with talking with Daniel, he's like, you know.
Really?
No, because his whole thing is like, okay, you can go, you know, that's great, but make sure you do it, you know, let's announce the marriage before the election. Oh, and you stepping down as CEO, let's wait for that after. You know, like, can't, even that doesn't come from a motive of happiness. So like, oh my God, you're finally marrying the woman you love.
I think he's a little less intelligent than Victoria, which makes him a little less evil.
Well, really? It makes him less conniving, certainly. But I don't know. I think that I have more and less compassion for them at certain times. And, you know, I definitely, they have earned each other and they deserve each other. And I think they're a perfect couple. And like that. And that's it. That's all I have to say about that, I guess.
Well, I'm interested to see how Ashley fully comes to... finally completes her mission as campaign manager.
Why did they throw that thing about the shot in there? I didn't understand.
About the what?
When she takes the shot. And Jack's like, well, that was for me. Like, is this the start of her alcoholic career? Like, why would they throw in that bit?
I think just to say that she's getting comfortable with Jack and she's taking control of Jack.
And she finally tells him what happened with Emily.
That is true.
With Emily and Daniel and why they broke up.
Well, let's talk about
time.
That. You know, so did you guys think that Jack thought Victoria was lying? Because, I mean, I obviously kind of seeks answers about this. You know, I don't think he saw directly from Ashley in particular, but, you know, it was the only person he could confide in. But I think he was kind of questioning it. Like, why would Victoria say this? Why, is it a lie or not?
Right, because he suggested it was some sort of control over Daniel as well. That she was saying it for some sort of manipulative purposes.
I think Jack knows you have to double check everything that Grayson's saying.
Yeah.
So now that he knows that it's the truth, what's going through his mind? I mean, I don't know. I saw a little bit of a look towards Ashley of like, hey, I don't know. I don't know how to interpret this.
I definitely think what's going through his mind is what if, you know, what if Amanda hadn't been pregnant? What if she hadn't been there that day? What if Emily had come to tell me this and I had picked Emily? You know, there's got to be a million what ifs.
Well, and that's pretty much what he said when he approached her on the porch tonight. You know, she said, I did come to tell you, but Amanda was there and she was pregnant and you had this whole life ahead of you. And he said, it's not the case now. Mm-hmm. It's not the case anymore. And I just felt like that was such a heart-wrenching scene.
Do you think partially, you know, in Jack's mind that he's thinking also like, it's a life that I didn't sign up for. Meaning, I mean, there's no way he could have known about this whole why, you know, as he thinks that Amanda was against the Graysons and her whole plan to take them down and things like that, you know?
Yeah, it's just really hard as an audience member to comment because we know that Amanda isn't Amanda.
Yes.
So, you
but
know?
If something were to happen, now it's ultimately going to be twice as worse because, you know, as Emily says, you know, I'd love to tell you, but I can't right now or something like that.
Yeah, she said, I wish I could explain it to you and someday I will. And then he gets fed up at that point and says, you know, it's always something with you.
Yeah.
Sort of these half-truths. And
I hate that because he's right. He's like, it's always one day, someday. And that's the worst thing. You know, when you're a little kid and your parents are like, when you're grown up, you'll understand. And it's, like, the worst thing to hear. Like, what are you supposed to do about that? Grow up faster? You know, there's nothing you can do. And that's what I feel like it's with him, you know? She's, like, telling him, like, someday you'll get it. And
you're he's, like, no, but I was, you know, I mean.
But what?
You're right in that, but I also think it speaks to a deeper point of when will Emily's revenge be over? You know, and obviously that's a question on Aiden's mind. But where does it end? There, you know, with revenge, there is no end in sight. You look like you disagree.
No. I just, we'll talk about it later.
You had a big smile on your face.
I always am happy to
share be
here.
Your opinion.
No, we'll get into it later.
All right. Fair enough.
Someday.
One day when
you'll
I'm ready
understand.
To understand.
When you're all grown
it'll
up,
it'll all
Phil.
Just come to you.
Fair enough. Okay. So why don't we talk about the engagement then? I thought, I mean...
Do we have to?
Why? Why do you say that? Why do you...
I don't want them to get married. I believe in true love. I'm a lover of love. And it's like, you can't marry somebody because you're seeking revenge and scheming. And
I loved aspects of it. I thought the tray with the airline tickets, that was romantic. Again, not in their situation, but the act of it.
I know, but Victoria even says, she says, when looking at Emily, I know a woman in love when I see one and you're not. And I feel the same way. And it sucks because I don't hate Daniel and I don't wish the worst upon him. So I feel really like it's slimy of Emily. And I don't want to feel like Emily's slimy because she's a great girl. She's looking out for her daddy.
I mean, it's true. Well, okay, but... But then, you know, I mean, imagine if Emily could speak back at Victoria, you know, would she? Okay, so you were a person who was in love, and you hurt the person you loved, ultimately killing him, i.e. David Clark.
Right. So what if she could say that, then what?
Then I don't know, but I'm just imagining it. No, but here's the thing. I mean, the point being that... I don't know what exactly the point is, but if that's love in Victoria's eyes, then congratulations. You've every person that she's actually loved, right? Remember season one with the artist, remember, you know, David Clark and, you know, all these other people in her past. She's ultimately led them to basically deaths.
And Phil, you know, we've talked about this in the past. I'm not sure when exactly, but I have brought this up before that there's no good guy on this show. Yeah, that, you know, we want to be on Emily's side, but the truth is she and Victoria really have a lot in common.
True.
So honestly, I think the good guy is Aiden.
He's the sole good guy on the show?
I think, I honestly think Nolan too, probably, but, you know, he from the start has been the same person. Aiden was bad guy gone good.
Okay. I can accept that.
But I do see what you're saying. Yeah, you know, even Emily, who is our protagonist, she's not the good guy.
Yeah.
Which is what that usually means. So I just contradicted myself, but you guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's the conversation. It's really difficult to know who you're rooting for.
She's our narrator. There we go.
Right.
Can't even call her the protagonist.
Like but that. Here's, you know, here's where Victoria maybe not has never been as smart is she can't ultimately figure out Emily's motives. You know?
Well, that's because she doesn't know who Emily is.
I mean, that's obviously true, but the fact that, you know, I mean, she had, remember Frank, season one, she had that background check, and she's always gotten close, but she's never gotten there, and her talk with Emily outside, that was the most, do women talk like that? That was the most subtextualized conversation I've ever, they were just stabbing at each other left and right in the most nicest way possible.
I feel like in the South that happens a lot.
Everyone's just proper, but like literally they mean like basically go F yourself.
Yeah. That bless your heart, that's a common one. Steven, back me up on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, seriously. No, Southern women know how to do it. Yep. Oh, is your hair always like that? It really is gray.
No, it's more, you know, it's weird because I was going to say being from the East Coast, obviously the show takes place on the East Coast. But this is a different East Coast than I'm used to. It's like, you just say what you mean. And, like, if you don't like somebody... You know, when she says the line, if it doesn't work at first, try again. That's so ridiculous of a thing to say at somebody's engagement. And it's such a dig. But everybody claps and laughs because it's not actually mean. You know?
I loved how repetitious.
Yeah.
That was such a great line.
Yeah, everything she says, it's like... Instead of just saying what she means, which is, you shouldn't be marrying my son, it's all these cover-ups and always trying to hide like an onion, and there's so many layers.
I mean, to an extent, I appreciate it because it's clever writing. And what's nice about the whole thing is that ultimately it brings us back Emily versus Victoria, which, you know, is where we started. What it does upset me, you go back to season one where... Victoria was very open about the fact that don't date my son, you know, don't date my son and all that. And so it's a little puzzling why she wouldn't be as open about it this time around of giving her full reasons, like, you know.
I think it's realistic. I really do.
I mean, I agree. It's realistic.
When you ask your girls talk like this, the simple answer is yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think she doesn't go back to that place because early in the season, she tried to bring Emily in and there was a time when they were supposed to be an alliance. So... She can't be as outwardly, I don't like you, this time around. And the reason why I think Emily always has the upper hand and Victoria can't quite figure it out is because Emily will say these things, these little digs, and I think it leaves Victoria a little bit puzzled. Like, how does she know that? Did I tell her that? Did Daniel tell her that? you know, like that remark about Paris, of where did she get that information? So I think that's where it always sort of stops Victoria.
But it's funny because Victoria is too proud to ask.
Oh, of course.
She would never say, how did you know that?
Right, of course.
Because then she's not playing the game.
Exactly.
It's very true. Well, you know, there's that conversation between Emily and Nolan, right, on the porch, right before Daniel comes out and says, hey, I have to pick up Charlotte and all that. And it's interesting hearing Emily's thoughts on, you know, because it's right after Takeda, and she's kind of shook about it. It's weird having her say, you know, well, I've chosen Aiden. You know, this is where it goes from here. Where it didn't seem 100% confident.
Well, because of course not. It was right after Jack.
Right.
That's, yes. Yes, you're right on that fact.
I don't think it had anything to do with Daniel.
Okay.
But it also, I think, and it's such a great moment because it is right after Jack. And Nolan says, you know, there are times when I think he's not such a bad guy. And it's like, yeah, that's what we're all thinking, you know, that he's like, are you sure that, and she said, no, I've chosen Aiden. So I think it was a perfect moment because it's exactly where we all are as audience members, just sort of like, yeah, he's not the worst guy. Oh, you should really be with Jack. Oh, but Aiden's great too.
Sometimes we need to check in. Like, what are you actually thinking? Where do you stand? So right. Yeah. And Nolan, oddly enough, is a catalyst for a lot of those moments on the show. He'll be like, so in summary, and then we'll just say like what happened. Yeah. That's happened like 4 times this season. And just then, like, are you sure you don't like Daniel? We're all thinking it. And he's the one to ask it. And she's like, no, I picked Aiden. So it's really like Nolan's role on the show to be like, audience, I know you're a little confused. Let me clear something up for you.
Yeah. It's very true.
Because Daniel was very likable this episode. Definitely. As well. So,
and there for his sister, he's kind of a good guy. Well,
while we're talking about the engagement, is, you know, how does the big question on Takeda's mind with Aiden in the picture is that, you know, she's becoming emotional and things like that. You know, has she done that? Because, I mean, in many ways, she's blindsided, you know, throughout this whole event of this episode. I mean, usually we see Emily in the driver's chair, and in tonight's episode, I don't think so. In terms
but
of
do you think? But you're asking us, do we think that's because of emotion?
Correct.
You take this one.
Okay, you're asking, is she emotionally sidetracked?
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, she's way too attached to Charlotte. Second of all, yeah, I think we are agreeing that Daniel's not the worst guy, and I think she feels that way too. And yeah, I think she's completely. And the fact that she loves Aiden. You know, Takeda said this is supposed to be your path to walk alone.
Yeah.
And that was part of her training, that you're alone in this. And that's it.
You get to pick love or revenge. You don't get to have both.
You get to have life or revenge. I mean, yeah. You're either a warrior or not. And
or you're a soldier.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Or a soldier.
But and we think she's a warrior, but she might be a soldier.
All right, so getting into Aiden, here's I'm going to knock Daniel. Do you guys actually think he's kind of a good guy?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you guys. No, because I think of, I go to the scene with him and Aiden where he fires Aiden, and, you know, Daniel wasn't the nicest guy in that. And not only that, you could tell, he really wanted to do something to Aiden. And that was where, as I was watching the episode, that's what I was kind of predicting, you know, because...
Wouldn't you have fired Aiden? Because I certainly would have.
I mean, yes, I guess I would have.
If he had been straightforward about it at first, maybe not, but sketchy.
I would have fired Aiden for being my ex-fiance's new boyfriend,
I don't think you could fire someone because of that.
I know that, but, as soon as something came up like that, especially that, yeah, that's way too big of a deal to stay
on. We didn't know that before, did we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and it got uncomfortable for a while. Yeah, no.
Uncomfortable because of he was the one who put the bomb on the plane?
His dad. Right. Is the one. But it got, I'm saying it's like, it was, it got uncomfortable between Daniel and Aiden for a while.
See, I don't know why that, so maybe because there's so much that goes on in the show. I was confused. I was like, wow.
But I think, you know what? In terms of a strategy, I thought Aiden, you know, played it nice. Like, hey, you know, we both have fathers that, you know, may have, and Daniel was just not buying it. Interesting how, you know, Daniel jumped to all those conclusions of Trask and things like that. And I thought, you know, as Aiden, as the character of Aiden, played it off pretty well.
Yeah, he said, who's them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was smart.
And so Daniel's kind of backtracking in that regard. You know, he let on too much.
Yeah, that's because Daniel's not smart.
No, he's not.
You know, not that he's not smart at all, but like we said the whole time, he's always a step behind.
Which, you know, I guess kind of now as we analyze it, it's good that Victoria and Emily are talking the way that they're talking because it is so much in riddles, whereas Daniel, who's trying to be truthful about it and accuse
Aiden of all... shows his cards.
Yeah, just keep quiet.
Yeah.
That's the smart play. That's how you get revenge. You do it in riddles.
Revenge in riddles.
But, you know, we were kind of predicting this and, you know, in terms of what Aiden was going to do, I never thought it was going to happen this way. And, you know, you made the prediction, Roxy, so you were half right, but then truly wrong in the end.
What was your fair prediction? Enough.
That Takeda was going to kill Aiden.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I wasn't half right. I was all wrong.
Yes. Well, you were right in the respect that he was going to kill Aiden. It just never actually happened.
Right.
I can't believe that whole scene.
Why not?
I mean,
it was quite awesome, I must say.
It blew my mind. First of all, I was like, there's no way Aiden's walking out of here alive. Because Takeda is the one who's trained them.
Okay, you want to know why I knew he was walking out of there alive? Because I went to our YouTube page, and I looked at our viewers' comments, and they were like, Roxy, you clearly don't follow what's going on the show because they've all been picked up. All the main characters have been picked up for next season. So then I was like, uh-oh.
Flashbacks? Hey, you'd be right. Hey,
and I try
you know
not
what?
Flashbacks, yeah. I try not to look at too many spoilers because they spoil things.
All right, well, first off, there's a few lessons in there.
But I appreciate that person.
Thank you guys for going to our various avenues to rate and comment, things like that, right? You know, we really appreciate it.
And we read them.
Well, that's right. We do. And sometimes it spoils things for us.
And however, I don't mind that. That's okay.
However, obviously we know Barry Sloan is back on the show. It could have been in flashbacks, but now at least we know that's not happening.
I also just, I mean, what are they going to do now? They don't have a leader anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I was going to talk about more in terms of the fight for me. Here's where I was torn because you said, you know, Aiden's not walking out and you knew that Aiden was walking out. For me, I didn't know and I was torn because, you know, Takeda grabbed a red sword and a black sword. And I was like, okay, red means blood. And he gave it to Aiden, so I was like, oh my god, is Aiden dying? Or does that mean that Aiden's going to spill the blood of Takeda? And then, you know, Takeda with the black one, I was like, holy moly. I was going to say something else, but holy moly. You know, Takeda's soul is black. You know, and that's why his sword is black.
Mm. What about the quote, try and stop me and she knows the truth tonight?
Yes.
Takeda says...
Well, the next episode is called The Truth.
The Truth Part 1 and The Truth Part 2.
That's right. Is there a Part 3 in Season 3?
If there is a Season 3...
What
did Takeda say that Aiden failed at? Because he came there to help Emily. That's what he said. I came here to help Emily. He said, you failed. And he said, if you try and stop me, I'll tell you the truth tonight.
Well, he failed in the fact that, you know, he's getting her emotional. Like, he was not supposed to, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah. What is the truth? What did he do? There's something bigger there.
What is it? I need to know now.
Well, we don't know because eventually... You know, I loved how Nolan was very skeptical of, like, going through this plan, but Aiden was very, let's do it, and very adamant about the fact that no Emily in terms of the involvement. But it was kind of Emily's plan all along to bankrupt them, so ultimately she can't be too bad. And I thought it worked well, it worked really well how it coincided with Daniel taking, you know, his funds out and things like that. So there could be something there that, you know, maybe gets traced back to Daniel somehow. Mm. Partly one last thing, random thought. I thought, well, never mind. I don't know.
No, what?
Regina was drawing money from a bank when everything went down, so I don't know.
Maybe there was a lot of money transferring, withdrawing. Although, why did she need to go to so many ATMs?
They needed $3,000 in cash.
Right.
Because that's what Charlotte's bail was.
Right, but why so many ATMs?
Because you can only draw so much out at a time.
You think that's what it was? I felt like she was, like, rigging the system or something.
That could be, I don't know.
Like, she was badass and, like, was using somebody else's card at different places.
Yeah, she's probably using Victoria's, or Charlotte's card.
Right.
And she probably doesn't have that kind of money.
Right.
But
and we know Charlotte's already been bailed out, so.
Right.
Where's that money going?
Well, her pocket.
Well, they probably thought to Charlotte. Yeah, it's not going anywhere because they're stuck in that ATM vestibule, so.
And they're going to make out. And they're going to sleep together. And then she's going to be so pissed because she's pregnant. Oh, and they're going to have babies.
But we know those Porter boys are swimmers, huh? Hey.
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 All right, back to carrying at hand. What a rush of emotion to, you know, in terms of everything that, you know, it led up to this. You know, Aiden puts in the password, hey, I've been waiting for you. You know, just after the kill of Takeda, you know, no worries, I'm here now. He puts in the code. Emily walks in. What did you do? We see the, what was it, $3 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah. It's not
transferred.
The worst.
Pocket. Pocket money,
please.
And so
I got that with me right now.
You're gonna get stabbed on the way to your car.
Kidding. I'll have my.
So
money
I don't know.
Me.
I mean, you know, I thought you guys kind of said it best. How Falcon in her bed is just laughing away.
How crazy is that though? When Aiden takes the sword, sorry, I'm still in the fight. Because yes. I was just thinking in between the hands, and he's like.
Yeah.
He looked crazy.
Why wouldn't Takeda just turn the sword?
Because he was squeezing so hard, he couldn't.
I don't find that realistic. It doesn't even make sense.
You're going to fight for your right to party.
Wouldn't his palms be sweaty?
We're going to test it out.
Okay, but you're going to be on the receiving end of that sword because... Right. I don't want to... Okay.
Okay, but here's... you understand the problem of what you just said because if that is the case and I'm on the receiving end, you're going down.
On... To the sword?
Well, look what happened to Kata.
You're killing me? Is that what's happening? No. But in my version and the sword twist, then
we'll find out.
Your hands are being sliced in half.
Fans will get back to you on that one. If you don't see Anna next week...
Or if Phil has no hands,
correct.
Then you'll know.
All right. But carry on. It's happened with, you know?
Yeah, the power outage was weird because I couldn't tell the emotions of Aiden, Nolan, and Emily.
Okay, does anybody else have a problem with the timeline and the fact that the Falcon's like a 12-year-old girl? Is that...
She's not... She's in her 20s. They just...
Whatever.
Just looks young.
I absolutely have a problem with it. I think they were trying so hard to break our image of what we thought she was going to look like that they picked this little 12-year-old Asian girl. Like, and yeah. I'm like, she is just so little.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care, Phil, if she's 30. The point is... that at the time that the Graysons would have hired her, she had to be, like, 12. Four.
No, she was 12.
She was 12 when she started working for Grayson Global?
That's a
Where
prodigy.
Did they find her?
She's a prodigy.
And they... So at 12, she was able to, like, look into the all this kind of evil. First of all, she was a prodigy that they somehow found off the grid somewhere.
Realistic.
Yeah, it's not realistic. I'm having a lot of trouble with the storyline.
Also, what does it mean when Nolan says, carry on, it started? What does it finishing look like? If blacking out the entire city means it started, where does it go from there?
World War III. I don't know.
Well, should we get into predictions?
Well, can I give you some news and gossip first?
Yes. Let's do that first.
TV news. Okay, what do I have? So, this one was actually kind of cute, and you should go look it out. Emily Van Camp did a commercial for Time Warner Cable, and it's really cute and funny. It's 30 seconds long. Everybody look at it. She looks great, and she's hilarious, and we love her. Gabriel Mann changed his representation. He's now with Resolution Entertainment. He used to be at APA. Don't know what happened there. Interesting. Got the same manager, though.
Okay.
So anybody interested in that? Also, we know who the new showrunner is going to be. So last week, we talked about how the executive producer and showrunner, Mike Kelly, was leaving after the first 2 years, and that it seemed to be good blood between them. The other executive producer, sorry, I'm going to butcher this, Sunil Nayar, sorry if that's not...
Nayar, maybe,
yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway, he just signed on to a 2-year deal with ABC Studios, and he's going to continue being the executive producer as well as the showrunner now. He used to executive produce for Body of Proof and CSI Miami. But the show hasn't been renewed yet. So this is all pending on it getting picked up for a third and fourth season. If it does, he will be the showrunner. And the last thing is a spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear...
Spoiler
close alert. Close your ears.
Spoiler alert.
it's sad because you're in the same room as me, so you don't really have a choice.
Yeah, I don't have a choice.
In The Truth, Part 2, there is a major death that will knock our socks off.
All right, that's not that... So, I mean, it's a spoiler, but it's not...
Right, I'm not telling you who.
No,
is it known?
Okay. It's the death of a major character, though, of a main character.
Which is why I still kind of think that Aiden's going to go, and maybe the flashback thing, but whatever. We don't know.
Here's the thing. Daniel could kill Aiden. I mean, we talked about that as a possibility that, you know, that Dan could orchestrate this somehow.
Well, you know.
We will see. That's all I got for you for this week of Cinco de Mayo. We can move on to predictions now. Which I have nothing written down about.
I want to know what Carrion. I want to know what Carrion is. You know, we finally get to see it in full force, and as you said, Falcon's out and about. You know, and I like seeing kind of someone else in control for once. You know, it's not tit for tat from Emily and Victoria. Now, kind of, it seems if anyone's in control, it's the Falcon. So it's going to be Nolan versus the Falcon, which is going to be exciting.
And we are on Team Falcon.
Nolan.
Kidding. Of course.
I don't even know whose team I'm on anymore.
You think Falcon's escaping?
Oh, yeah. She's out the door already.
Oh, duh.
Please.
Escape from prison?
Please. Yeah. First, the riot's going to break out. She'll probably go when the riot's going on. Slip out.
What does this mean for Conrad's political career?
Ugh, absolute chaos.
I mean, I just don't understand who the other candidate is going to be.
The governor?
But...
Who's going to have a heart attack now?
Yeah.
You know, is there going to be somebody new stepping in the race?
And there's not even, like, a machine to keep them alive anymore, because there's no electricity in all of New York. It's so sad.
Ooh, yeah, see?
Oh, it's awkward.
That's true. See, you can't run a hospital if you don't have power.
And you can't control a pregnancy.
Yes. So, that's the best we could come up with, because we don't know.
Because we are wicked smart.
That's not that way. I'll give all the credit to the show. They know where they're going, and we certainly don't. We can speculate, but we'll be wrong. So, on that lovely note, where can our fans find you?
You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR, and at AnnaKoppel.com.
On Twitter, at Roxy Stryer.
And, of course, you can follow us here at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you for tuning in. Catch some of our other shows. And, of course, rate and comment. And, if nothing else, tell at least one person. I met someone today that said, you know what? I just started watching Revenge. It's really good. I'm on season one, but I'm going to get caught up. And that's great for the show. And it's also great for us. So continue to spread the word. Thank you, guys. See you next week after the finale.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.